It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how.
I don't want to brag, but I've known Lindsay Kaplan for a long time. I could even say before she was famous, maybe.
That's silly. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to Great Mondays Radio. The coffee's hot, and today the topics are even hotter. Lindsay Kaplan is the founder and lead strategist of The Gathering Effect. She is an expert on gatherings and change programs. And we're mostly, I love talking to her, and we've written a few articles together. I don't want to forget to mention. I like talking to her about why people aren't really showing up when we're like trying to get them to show up. And I think it's so interesting because we have this real human problem, and most people are, or the narrative is in the press, let's say, is about going back to work or not. But your specialty is around specific moments in time. Give me a little bit. Why don't you tell everybody listening a little bit about kind of how you came to this concept of the gathering effect, and where, like, bring us up to speed. Like, where are we now post pandemic?
Okay. Hi, Josh. Great to be with you. So quickly, background. My background is a mix of three different disciplines: entertainment, education, and business. So this Venn diagram of comms, learning and development, and organizational psychology. And basically what I do is I help companies more effectively, what I call, match a message with a moment to create an effect. So anytime we want to put people in a room, whether it's virtual or in person, give them content and sort of poof, change them, that's my specialty. And it looks like all hands, offsites, values launches, training classes. Did I say offsites? Things of this nature. And so I'm particularly focused in how we use gatherings as a tool for change, why they are effective, and sometimes why they are not. And the reason this is specifically interesting, this topic today of why people sign up but don't show up, or maybe why they don't even sign up, is I faced this problem as a former head of learning and development. Did that for three different companies and faced this problem, painstaking problem of we go to the time and effort to put these programs together, and we do our best to listen to employees and build them empathetically, and then it can feel like pulling teeth to get people to actually show up. And so why is this? So that enough context?
Was this a problem before the pandemic?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
And now is it even more of a problem?
Is that a leading question?
Is it the same? No, it doesn't have to be. It can be the same amount of crappy attendance.
I don't have specific data on like whether or not this problem is worse now, besides anecdotal data. Yeah. I would say that our bar is higher now, right? As employees, as people.
From the employee side.
Yeah. And so not that there's just, there is more choice, but I think there's just more desire to have this time be more meaningful, because we've seen that we can just share content around. We don't have to show up. We'll get the content later. So right. Is this worth my time?
Right.
Right.
Okay. So this concept of people sign up for something, but they don't show up. So when we're thinking about it in a corporate context, there is something that is going to happen that leaders want employees to actually show up to. It's important. And folks may, in fact, say yes, click yes, I will come to this, but then they don't. Or they may not even click yes in the first place, because what you just said, they assume it's going to be a painful experience and I can just 2x watch it later, right? Like I could just get the information at some other point. We live in this asynchronous world and a lot of data can be shared that way. Why do I actually have to put on pants, as someone so wisely said, and show up?
Yes, shout out to our Fast Company article from several years ago. I think this is a common problem. And what I see or experience is that instead of sort of figuring out what would motivate people to show up, we just make the event mandatory. And that is our way of ensuring people will show up. And I would argue, maybe controversial opinion here, I don't think that's a useful strategy because, yeah, we might get the number, but the butts in the seats doesn't equal buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that number may make you look good or help you check a box, but it doesn't equal long-term engagement, which I think is what we're usually really after. And if we want to, Josh, I can share some ideas on how to actually motivate people to attend, which I think is
helpful. That's exactly where we're headed. So let's get to it. How do we get those numbers up, but numbers that of engaged people to actually show up to things like all hands or announcements or some of the other items that you mentioned?
Okay. I've got five ideas.
Five ideas. Count them down.
Okay. Here it's probably too many. The first is something actually you just did, Josh, which is this idea of a central question. So what's the question that we're going to answer here on our podcast today? How to get people to not just sign up, but show up. That's a central question. I would say one concrete strategy is we can leverage or sort of ask a central question within our gatherings or change programs. So I mentioned my background. Part of it comes from the world of screenwriting, and like our favorite shows like Severance, White Lotus, my favorite shows do this already. They ask a central question. So Severance, like who, you know, what the heck is Lumen Industries? What the heck is this? White Lotus, who murdered or who got murdered, right? That's the question. I'm not saying we have to have such severe central questions, but what it does is it teases us to want to find out and tune in and find out the answer. So instead of like, oh, here's the three topics we're going to talk about, what's the central question that we're going to answer? Could we lead with that in our pre-coms and in our marketing? And might that get more people to attend, especially if it's a question that they themselves are curious about? So that's one thing I'd say.
What's an example of a central question that you've seen asked that you think is pretty good in the corporate world?
I don't see the strategy being used very often, to be honest with you.
What would make for a good, we can't say who's going to get murdered.
Right.
So what is the question?
I think part of what we want to think about is what are the questions that our employees' minds that we want to answer. So it's probably not like what are our Q4 financials. Maybe what's on employees' minds right now are things like layoffs, return to work, things like that. Can we just be transparent in terms of things that we're going to answer or discuss? I don't have in my head like, oh, this is a great central question that I've seen. But could you turn your agenda into questions instead? Might be a small thing you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I offer one? Why, where we're headed this year, or how this year is going to be, you know, how will this year be even better than last? Or, mm-hmm. you know, what's like the kind of the bigger, like exciting, instead of it being, here are our financial goals and how many products we're going to move and just let's get aligned. It's like, what is this bigger framework of like, how are we going to be, you know, awesome this year? Something like that. Is that?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to understand because it's the first time I'm hearing this concept, this amazing concept.
I mean, I think that works for sure. Let me sort of spitball another example. If it's like a manager development program, it might be something as simple as, what's expected of you as a manager? It's simple.
I would love that. Yes, that is such a basic question that nobody answers. Like, what does success look like?
Yeah.
What do you have to do? How will you be measured?
Josh, we have matching
We have
Stanley.
Yes. Yes. For those of you listening and not watching on YouTube, Lindsay and I both just took us simultaneously sip out of our matching hipster Stanley.
We're such nerds.
Okay. All right.
So
nerd.
That's one.
That was number
central
one.
Question.
Ask a central question. Number two, answering our question, how do you get people to sign up and show up? Number two.
To know and name what's at stake. So these are all a little bit connected. Another pop culture reference for you. So Schitt's Creek, great television show. TV shows do a good job of raising the stakes for our characters, so we know why we should pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode of Schitt's Creek, if you've watched it, Josh, you should. If you haven't, oh,
I will.
Josh,
I will.
That's
I know.
Horrible.
I know.
I won't spoil it for you too much, but basically find out that the Rose family has lost all their worldly possessions and finances. And so they have to rebuild. And so something is really at stake for them. Whoa, this is serious. Another way of thinking about this is like Broadway musicals, like The Little Mermaid. There's always this I want song. So Hamilton, My Shot, Wicked, Wizard and I, there's something that the character wants. It's this engine that propels the rest of the story. We have to know what's at stake for the employees. Right? The characters, yes, but the employees also. So ask what's at stake for them. If they're there by choice, ask why they showed up. What do they want to learn? How does this content connect to their needs? We don't often give people space to actually name that. If it's mandatory, name what's at stake. Why did you create this town hall or this onboarding or this training? What are the business needs? What are the metrics? What are the stories that you've heard? Naming what's at stake is really useful. And if you don't know, just maybe set a timer for a few minutes and brainstorm a list of things that might be at stake for your employees. The reason I say this is people change when there is enough of a need, whether it's personal or professional. So what would that need be? What would that reason be? And if you don't know it, your employees won't know either.
Okay. Here's the follow-up. What's an example?
Give an example. Gosh, Josh, that's so annoying. an example of what's at stake. So an example, let's stay on the manager development one.
Because that's notably common and boring, typically.
Well, it's just like, oh, I have a poorly performing employee who's not doing what I need them to do. And I'm worried that they're going to leave. Or I'm worried that I'm going to get bad marks as a manager. Or... yeah, that's motivating me to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I think what tends to be more noticeable, or there tends to be more stakes for people when two things are true. They're going through a transition, or they're doing something new for the first time. So if you can sort of meet these moments for people, meaning like, oh, they just got promoted, or they're just joining your organization, or they just became a manager. These are transition moments where people are more open to change and the stakes are higher. So can you time your event or name the stakes for people? It helps them feel a bit more seen. I think that's one way to think about it too.
So, because you said two things here as far as raising the stakes, or you can either name the stake or stakes, or you can ask what's at stake. So I think naming the stakes makes a little more sense to me. If you want to be successful at this organization, here's what you need to do, riffing on the expectations. If you are looking to, you know, grow as a person, if you are, you know, want to help, you know, want to achieve these numbers, this is what you need to do. So that's naming the stakes. But I didn't understand how to ask what's at stake and when that is. Can you go into that? Did I hear you? First of all, let me ask, did I hear you correctly? You can, and if you don't know what the stakes are, you can ask people once they show up to the
event. So I always start events. I did this earlier today by putting the objectives on the screen. Here's what we're going to talk about. And I want to know, well, did I miss anything? Anything else you were hoping to learn that you don't see here? Or how does this content relate to your needs? Or what's one thing you're hoping to learn? And either through small group discussion or just asking folks, it gives people a chance to literally connect your content with their need. And whether or not we explicitly ask people, folks are doing it all the time. They're doing it listening to this podcast, right? So you know, why not just give people that opportunity and basically erase that distance as much as possible?
Hmm.
So that works especially well if people are there by choice. But you can also do it when it's mandatory because maybe people hadn't even thought about it.
What's the prompt? What's the problem? What do you, why
what does
you...
this topic make you think about? So let's be more concrete. Let's say you've brought in a guest speaker to talk about the importance of feedback. You might have a question on the screen as people join. They're like, why the heck am I here? It's a mandatory town hall and you're having a guest speaker talk about feedback. Have a question on the screen and say, you know, when was the last time you got really good feedback? What was that? Or what does this topic make you think about today? And it's not forcing people to have awkward conversations. It's just like a light way to sort of pull them in and get them to start to think about how this might be relevant to them. What might be at stake to them if they hadn't thought about it before?
Mm. Okay. So it's a good prompt so that they, because they're in the back of their mind, even though they're not consciously thinking about it, they're going to wonder. And so you want to prompt them to bring it forward so that they're going to be able to get that need met, to connect that, to fill it in.
Yes, and prompting them is good. Yes, and the person who is wanting this change to happen, let's say the CEO brings in this guest speaker to talk about feedback, I'm also suggesting the CEO names why they did this. What's at stake for the org? What's the business problem we're solving? What's reason why you're all here? Oftentimes, either people think it's obvious and people should know, or they assume people are here so they already care. No, not necessarily.
Because people are like, wait, what is this? They got two emails about it, and then mm-hmm. they're showing up, and they're like, I guess I could be better at giving feedback. I don't know. And then they're like, whatever.
What's in it for me? Let's start by sharing like what's in it for the person who wanted the change. What's the need? What's the business need? Why should
okay,
I care?
So can I ask? So it's ask what's at stake and state the WIFM, the what's in it for me.
Yeah, what's at stake. I mean, this is essentially like change management 101. We want to clarify the and call it whatever you want, the burning platform, the urgency, the what's at stake, the need. Yeah. Has to be a reason.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
It's all about the pre-communication.
It's and I'll all be more about the pre-communication.
Not all about, but let's just say it's important.
Okay.
I was trying to make it pithy. I was like, no, I mean, not all about that. A couple specific things I see. One is people tend to focus on just the message that you're sharing at the event. Like, here's the agenda, here's the light topics, and see you there. Our town hall starts at 4, and we'll be talking about our financials. Look forward to seeing you there. Cool. As an employee, I don't know why I need to show up live. You haven't explained to me why I'm needed there, right? So you can clarify the message, or you can clarify the moment and the message. So what's unique about this moment in time? So something like, hey, looking forward to seeing you all here today at 4:00. This is the first time we're sharing our Q4 financials. Looking forward to your feedback, understanding what lands for you. And I really appreciate you clearing your calendars to make this time work. It's the only time where our whole company is together. Those are two very different messages to receive, I'd argue. One is like, okay, yeah, cool. This is a topic. I don't know if this is relevant to me. Is the risk worth the reward? Maybe. The other is like, oh, I'm needed and I'm seen. And I have agency, and you're elevating my status, and this is something we're all doing together. I might be more pulled in to attend. So that's one thing to think about.
Am I including my WIFM in the pre-communication? I mean, is that what I'm hearing you say, or like your stake? I mean, I just want to clarify. I just want to be able to distinguish. Because I'm like, okay, you've got these asking this, like when I think about some pre-communication, I'm gonna state the central question. I'm gonna describe what's at stake. I'm gonna tell you, and then you've just added, you know, why now? Why are we doing this? Why now? This moment? What am I not getting right about that?
Don't want to overcomplicate it for people. It's not like, oh, if you have to include a checklist of 12 items.
Okay.
I think the request is more just to be thoughtful that you're asking people to join you in something. So basically tell them why you want them there, why you need them there. What's different about this moment? I think that's the prompt I'm really encouraging here. Otherwise, yes, people will watch it later on 2x speed.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, let me just take a quick, not detour, but side point. When I talk to executives, when I help them work on their town halls, for example, oftentimes I hear, well, I want people to turn on their cameras. It's hard to get feedback from people. I don't know if anyone's paying attention. And yeah, I hear that. And when I talk to employees and I say, what would help you feel more engaged and what would help you show up? They go, I want to feel more seen. I feel like I'm not needed there. I feel like they're talking to anybody.
Yeah.
So it's the same need, right? People want to be seen. So in your pre-coms, do that. See them. Recognize them. Talk to them.
Give me another quick dialogue on how I might message this. Like, bring it to life for me. What does it sound like to write something that makes me feel seen?
Hey everyone, this month at our town hall, I'll be sharing some lessons learned from the past quarter, things I haven't shared yet. And I know there's a lot going on in the business and people are focused on spring break and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I need your feedback to help me understand some of my next steps. And so it'd be really great to see you there.
I love it. I love it. That's great. I see you. I know that you're got all these other things. There's more to this world than just me, the CEO or the executive or the manager. It's acknowledging reality. It's acknowledging what's out there and that you are making a choice, right? You're making a sacrifice, your time.
Yeah. Two quick thoughts. One is it's a game of risk and reward. Is the risk of me spending my time here worth the reward of showing up?
Yep.
Let's reduce that uncertainty for people by telling them exactly what they're going to get out of it and why it matters to them. So that's one. Two, this idea of seeing people. It doesn't have to be this long, you know, 17-hour debate about how to write the perfect email. There's a comedian named Hannah Gadsby. I've talked about her before in some of my other podcasts and things. She did this with one line. One line. I saw her perform live before COVID. She came out on stage and she said, hey, everyone, my special is not done. I'm going to be looking to you to tell me what to cut. I'm looking to your laughter to tell me what to cut. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for being here. One line. Oh, my voice matters. You need me. I'm helping you. Wow. Like, it's small things like that. Small choices, big effects.
I love that. All right. 1, 2, 3. Number 4, how do we get people to sign up and show up?
Hopefully this is a quick one. It's just your agenda. So either the agenda that you share in the pre-coms or your agenda slide. Side note, very few gatherings have agenda slides. They should. Why not? They should have agenda slides. These are actually learning events, really. You know, my background in L&D comes into play here because we want people to remember and retain this content and or do something with it. So we need to build it with the brain in mind. Agenda slides. The mistake I see is folks write the topics, the content, when they should be writing the effect, the so what of the content. So example is like, you know, a content agenda might be engineering update, HR update. If we're sticking to the town hall example.
Yeah.
Q4 financials. It's like, I'm going to tune out when it's not relevant to me.
Yeah.
Because it's versus an effect update, which is understand our Q1 financials and how it affects our company priorities. Learn what engineering products are being shipped and your role in. I'm sort of like, I'm riffing here, but it's not about the content. It's the so what of the content. And that requires a different way of thinking about how we craft our agenda slides.
Mm-hmm. Great. And number 5, the one we've all been waiting for.
Number 5 is to give people skin in the game.
Okay.
So this is kind of a mashup of everything we've been talking about so far. But I went wine tasting this past weekend and the guy comes out with the wine and he puts the glasses on the table and he says, "You might taste notes of strawberry and I don't know what else he said. Like this
vanilla,
fruit."
Barnyard.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I don't know. This fruit. Clearly I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, interesting. And so the reason he did that, I actually talked about this with someone a couple of years ago to confirm this, is they want to get you participating right away. They want to get you engaging, they want to give you something to react to so that you have quote unquote skin in the game. It's more of an active experience. So how do we do that in our gatherings? How do we give people skin in the game? How do we give them agency, ownership, show them their feedback is wanted, maybe give them a choice? So if you are doing, I have a client recently who offers two different town halls, one for one time zone and one for the other, choose the one that works best for you. It's a small way to give people a sense of choice and agency in the experience. Other practical ways to do this are, we've talked about this already, ask for people's help, ask for their feedback, show them why you need them there. And then if you're, you know, if you're teaching a class, maybe like a class on feedback, instead of just starting with the content, say, what do you know about this topic already? And this gives people a chance to sort of, A, prove how much they already know, boost their confidence, but also elevate their status. And so the TLDR of all of this is, I believe gatherings are better and more engaging when they're done with people, not at them, and when they're done about people and not about anyone. So you want to feel seen and you want to be co-creating it with people. So all of these strategies are meant to move us in that direction.
All right. So I have one, ask a central question. Two, determine or state what's at stake, your with them, what's in it for me. Three, ensure that you have pre-communication that clarifies the moment. Four, describe and your agenda that has both the content and the effect, describing the so what. And five, make sure people have skin in the game so they can participate. Did I get that?
You got that. It's good.
So people in order to increase the odds that people are not just going to show up, but show up and be engaged, which is really what you want, you need to be able to establish a reason for them to be there, why they should care. And one of the concepts that I've read that you talk about is it's not just a kind of brain dump, a one-to-many type of like, I'm just going to talk at you. I feel like that is the reason why we get so many of those is because it's easier mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. And I can just talk, I can just, you know, write my script, do the slideshow, and then talk at people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, very common.
And so what you're advocating for is, in order to get the desired effect, you need to create all of these elements that you've described, open up a two-way channel of communication or emotion or maybe even energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you why that way doesn't work.
So, why the one way? One way.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's really, really, really common. And what it tends to create is a sense of compliance, right? I did it at you, about anyone. So check the box, compliance. That's fine. If what we want is engagement, which to me, I define engagement as, you know, obviously buy-in and ownership, maybe long-term behavior change, but I also define it as, I'm not just going to come to your show and listen to your song. I'm going to sing the song on my own and then share it with somebody else. I'm going to like share this message broader. And the reason why we do that largely is because we feel emotionally connected. There's some emotional like reason why I care.
Well,
you're only
going to share it if it says something about you. If it's right, like it's like mm-hmm. in social media, right? Where you're like, oh, these posts are fine. And then, oh, this one I like mm-hmm. is, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to send a message. The repost is like, this one's about me somehow, right? So it's like sharing, singing that song and sharing it with somebody else is I means I'm invested and I want others to know about that too.
Yes. Why do we recommend training classes? Like when I worked in L&D, people say, do you have a recommendation for this training class? Or I asked this person, we recommend these things because we ourselves had a personal connection to them. They were personal to us. Therefore, they should be personal to other people. Yeah. That doesn't happen unless we make it so. Right. So if you're a leader standing on stage and you are sharing a very personal message or it's personal to you, you care because it's your change effort. We cannot assume it's going to be personal to others unless, again, we make it so. And the way to do that is not just through content. It's helping people feel more connected to the content. That's the whole ballgame. The whole ballgame.
Amazing. What does it take? Sort of let's kind of go into this final chapter here. What does it take to prep for? And this is kind of what I alluded to before, and I'm thinking about is I think there's a knowledge gap. Why people don't create gatherings like this, but I also think there's just people or leaders are overwhelmed and they don't get started on it soon enough. They don't think about these things. So
communication before. Checklist? Yes. On my website. Yes. I will. Is that where you're at?
Is that the answer to my question is what does it take in order to create something like this? Is that the answer? The communication checklist? On the gatheringeffect.com?
I hear you that what's underneath your question is like, this is a new skill that takes time to build and a habit, right? It's easier just to send the agenda and show up and talk at people.
Yep.
Probably. And then my question back to you is how many times are you going to have to repeat yourself? Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't actually really heard. So what's like the one sort of habit to build, I would say, is to think about, two things. One, what do you want people to know or be or do because of the content that you're sharing? So what's the effect that you're trying to create? What do you want people to do with this information?
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them. That's it. Right. That's what I want you to do with this. That's the feeling I want to create. If we go all the way back to like 20 minutes ago, we talked about Severance, White Lotus, same thing. They start with the end. Oh, they know who the murderer was when they start writing it. They're building everything with the end in mind. So start with the end. Don't start with like, let's just dump content into a slide deck.
Right. Why are you sharing this information? What is important about it?
Mm-hmm. It's just asking yourself that question or having your stakeholder ask you that question or having your chief of staff ask you that question. It's like a small shift, but I think very impactful.
What do you want people to be, do, or know because of this gathering?
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Kaplan of The Gathering Effect. You can check out her communications checklist along with all the other resources. She writes a lot of amazing stuff. Obviously, she's incredibly intelligent and skilled in this. Check out thegatheringeffect.com. Lindsay Kaplan, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio and teaching us all these incredible skills. I will definitely, I've written them down. I'm going to engrave them and make sure that I have it front and center the next event that I try to put together and emulate the effect that you have on others. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations,
at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.